Good morning. Thank you, Judge Randolph. My name is Stephen Goldblatt. I'm a professor at Georgetown University Law Center, and I was appointed as an amicus curiae in this case. With the court's permission, argument today will be presented by Brendan F. Quigley, who is a third-year law student at Georgetown, who is appearing in conformity with the rules of this court.
Your motion to have him admitted pro hoc vici is read.
Thank you very much.
May it please the court, Brendan Quigley on behalf of amicus curiae, and I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. The district court improperly granted the government's motion to dismiss in this mandamus action. Read in a light most favorable to Mr. Kaufman, the complaint and supporting documents established that the Attorney General was not carrying out his statutory responsibilities for 8 U.S. Code Section 1481A6. The Attorney General did not respond to three letters which Mr. Kaufman sent, in which Mr. Kaufman attempted to initiate his expatriation under the statute. The fourth letter appears to have been forwarded erroneously to another government agency. The Department of Justice did respond, in their words, quote, on behalf of the Office of the Attorney General, to a letter that Mr. Kaufman sent requesting information regarding Section 1481A6 through the Freedom of Information Act. However, in that response, the Department of Justice Office of Information and Privacy stated that it could not assist Mr. Kaufman with the FOIA request because, again, in their words, the Attorney General does not, quote, handle citizenship matters. It can be inferred from the assertion that the Attorney General does not handle citizenship matters, as well as from the non-responses to Mr. Kaufman's other letters, that the Attorney General is either unaware of or is ignoring his statutory responsibilities for Section 1481A6. The Attorney General's failure to recognize his statutory responsibilities should be remedied by compelling the Attorney General to act either through the Administrative Procedures Act or through the mandamus statutes. The government does not contend that the Attorney General has taken any position on this statute. Rather, the government argues that it should be inferred that the Attorney General has made a decision with regard to the statute because the Attorney General has not promulgated forms or procedures for making renunciations under the statute. Government's argument is based on a faulty premise. It's premised on the argument that forms or procedures, the Attorney General needs to promulgate forms or procedures before the statute can become operative. This is incorrect. The statutory language says that the renunciation may be made in such form as may be provided and before such officer as may be designated by the Attorney General.
What's the consequence of this individual accept a formal renunciation of his citizenship?
He would become an alien, Your Honor.
He's in prison, right?
He's on parole at this time,
Your Honor.
He's on
parole?
Yes, Your Honor.
Would he have to be deported then?
He would be in this country, yeah, he would, in the sense that he would be in this country illegally, yes.
Illegally.
But nonetheless, the Attorney General's argument here is basically that the Attorney General is able to ignore his statutory responsibility for the statute. There's been no indication that the Attorney General has exercised any discretion. The Attorney General's discretion with regard to forms and procedures, again, is not a conditioned precedent for the statute becoming operative.
Where would he be deported to, by the way?
Your Honor, he is not, it's unclear at this time.
Well, he's obviously exercised some discretion, but you're claiming it's reviewable. I mean, yeah, the government's trying to make the argument it's non-reviewable. There's nothing to review here. They're trying to apply Doe. There's no doubt there's discretion has been exercised, but that doesn't mean that it's a non-reviewable exercise of discretion.
That's correct, Your Honor. The government's argument is under 701A2 of the Administrative Procedures Act. But this is a reviewable.
No, I understand that's what your argument is, yeah.
Because 701A2 would not apply where it appears that the agency has abdicated its responsibility for the statute. And that's the case here between the assertion that the Attorney General does not handle citizenship matters when he clearly does have responsibility for this statute, as well as the non-responses to Mr. Kaufman's other letters.
So let me be clear. In other words, the writ would issue, the writ you want issued would direct the Attorney General to make a decision, period.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
As distinct from explaining why he has not made a decision.
Yes, he would have to make a decision. There's three elements for renunciation to become effective under this statute, Your Honor. And this is the framework that the district court used, and it's the framework that we use in our briefs. Mm-hmm. First, there needs to be a renunciation. That's already taken place from Mr. Kaufman's letters.
No, I was just drawing the distinction between asking for a response to a mandamus writ. You know, why should mandamus not issue here? Then the Attorney General might come forth, I guess, with what he's argued in his brief here. And then we would have to decide whether a mandamus should issue, directing him to make a decision one way or the other.
Your argument is he has to make a decision.
He has to make a decision, yes. And that decision is constrained by the statutory terms that the decision must be contrary to the interest of national defense.
That's a different issue. As to how that decision comes out, that's not in play at this point.
Yes, Your Honor. That could be reviewable. That would be where 701A2 would be, where Webster v. Doe would be most apt. We believe that decision would still be reviewable. But there's been no decision made at this point, and that's what our requested relief in this case is, that the Attorney General is compelled to make a decision on Mr. Kaufman's expatriation.
Then the government says, well, there's no time limit set here.
Your Honor, as this court said in American Rivers, and that was an unreasonable delay case, but the premise is the same under 706.1. A reasonable time for agency action is weeks and months, not years. And here, Mr. Kaufman submitted his initial letter to the Department of Justice, to the Attorney General, in the summer of 2004. So it's been 3.5, almost 4 years in which the Department of Justice and the Office of the Attorney General have denied Mr. Kaufman the relief he seeks.
Well, your argument would be there can be no doubt that it's an unreasonable delay if the government's argument is we have no responsibility here. They're operating under a false assumption, is what you're saying. So if they assume they don't have to do anything, this is not their responsibility, there's no doubt there's an unreasonable delay because they're never going to attend to it.
Yes, Your Honor. There are no further questions. I'll reserve my remaining time for rebuttal. Thank you.
May it please the court.
Why is it that the Attorney General's authority is restricted to times of war, but the Secretary of State's authority is not so restricted?
Because Congress wrote it that way.
Yes. I think Judge Edwards has the right idea. Congress wrote it that way, Your Honor. Otherwise, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. In any event,
now, there were regulations, and they were rescinded in 1950.
54, I believe, Your Honor. But they were rescinded in the 1950s.
That's the year that the World War II ended.
They were rescinded after the end of World War II.
When was the end of World War II?
In the 40s.
No, it was in the 50s.
Okay.
Because once a formal declaration of war is issued, which was done, the war doesn't end until Congress issues a formal declaration of the end of the war, and that was not done until the 50s.
Okay. Your Honor, the court is, the district court was correct in interpreting Section A6. Section A6, there is no time frame set in A6. In fact, A6 itself states that whenever the Attorney General shall approve such renunciation as not contrary to the interest of national defense. There is no time frame in which the Attorney General has to make a decision.
What about Judge Edwards' point?
Attorney General says it's not even within his area. If the Attorney General is proceeding on an incorrect legal premise, that's reason enough that the other side should prevail. That would be mandamusable right there.
Judge Edwards, there are evidence in the record indicating that a letter was sent to the U.S. Attorney for in Wisconsin. The U.S. Attorney then sent Mr. Kaufman's request to the Department of Homeland Security. In effect, DOJ delegated its responsibilities to the Department of Homeland Security. Ultimately, the United States CIS, Customs and Immigration Service, responded to Mr. Kaufman. In the joint appendix, page 21 and 22, USCIS stated that
Attorney General has no role in citizenship.
The USCIS also stated, however, that Mr. Kaufman is within the United States when he attempted to renounce his citizenship.
And where is that in the statute?
And where is that in the statute?
To be outside the United States to come
so
under A6.
1483, right?
A6 deals with being within the United States.
Right.
That is correct. However, USCIS, in looking at Kaufman's request, stated that you are attempting to renounce your citizenship within the United States and then remain in the United States.
Right.
And that's on page 22. And
the
that.
I just back up a little bit. Is that in 19. Well, in the 1940s and the 1950s, when the statute, whenever the statute was enacted, plus when the regulations were in effect, the Immigration and Naturalization Service was part of the Department of Justice under the control of the Attorney General. And I'm sure the Attorney General would have delegated, as he did with all kinds of questions dealing with citizenships and deportation and, mm-hmm. and immigration, so, to the immigration. But the Immigration and Naturalization Service was transferred to Homeland Security in the Homeland Security Act, which is
yes.
why I guess they then got the inquiry.
That they then got the inquiry from the appellant, yes. Your Honor, it's clear that there is discretion that has to be exercised within
A6. But I just
A6.
Want to go back to the point you were making, and that is that when Homeland Security responded, it said that Mr. Kaufman was attempting to do this and remain in the United States.
Yes.
Do we know that?
Yes.
I mean, is the record clear about that?
Yes, Your Honor. There, Mr. Kaufman had written several letters to USCIS indicating that he was in jail, that the state of Wisconsin would not allow him to leave the state even after he left. Also, in his briefing in front of the district court, he states that he would have to remain in the United States for 20 years after he's released from prison. So there is indication in the record that he has an intention to remain within the United States.
No, there's an indication in the record that the state of Wisconsin says he has to remain in order to fulfill his obligations of parole.
Yeah. Yes.
But and if the federal law says that he is an alien and has to be deported, are you arguing that Wisconsin law would nevertheless control?
No, Your Honor, and that's one of the problems with this, because there cannot be a compulsion to, you can't compel the Attorney General to deport. The appellant.
That's not the issue.
No.
The issue is whether or not he can get a judgment on renunciation pursuant to the statute. Whatever follows is an entirely different question. Who knows? I don't know what the answers might be. But the question under the statute, I don't.
Clearly,
he can ask for that and get an answer from the Attorney General or whomever is designated by the Attorney General pursuant to any rules that the Attorney General may or may not prescribe.
Yes, Your Honor. He has gotten an answer concerning his request. However, under the statute.
The district court didn't think so, did it? I thought the district court said that. I thought that everyone was assuming the Attorney General had no role to play here. And in any event, it just goes away. There's nothing that has to be done here.
The district court says that it goes away, that there's nothing that has to be done because
right, so the district court's wrong in that view, right?
No, the district court is correct that there is nothing that has to be done because of
because
the discretion.
Because of the statute?
Because of the A6,
well,
the discretion within.
This is not the same as Doe. The statutory language is absolutely not the same as Doe.
The statutory language.
No law to apply here?
Correct.
Possibly get that reading. I mean, there are plenty of statutes like this. There's clearly law to apply. As to whether or not there's an unreasonable delay, you know, that's always a question under the APA that we have to review. But if the agency says we're never going to attach it, we're never going to deal with it, then obviously there's an unreasonable delay. But I don't know how this is not reviewable. This doesn't even look like an interesting question. Shall approve or not pursuant to the standards, whereas in Doe it was deemed. You know, clearly, as do or not, as you see fit. That's not what this language says.
This, Your Honor, this language, as the district court has stated, there is discretion in the language in terms of determining the interests of the national defense. That discretion is likened much to the language in A6 falls within one of the narrow categories that usually satisfies the strictures of subdivision
A2. It doesn't say may or may not, as the Attorney General sees fit. It says shall approve such renunciation as not contrary. I mean, so there's this clear standard as not contrary to the interest of national. Shall approve.
It's not
a decision has to be, yes, but a decision has to be made based on clear standards here.
The attorney.
It's not contrary to the interest of national defense. So I suppose the Attorney General could say it's not in a state of war or it is contrary to the interest of national defense. But those decisions have to be made. I don't know how the government could walk away and say, well, there's nothing there. We're not going to do anything. This doesn't say the Attorney General can receive a request for renunciation and then do as the Attorney General sees fit.
It does say that whenever it says the last phase of the statute says whenever the United States shall be in a state of war,
right.
and whenever the Attorney General shall approve such renunciation.
It doesn't say and whenever.
It says and the Attorney General shall approve such renunciation.
Right. So if the Attorney General approves it, but in other words, there's a decision to be made.
But there's no time period for the decision.
That's the question of unreasonable delay, and it seems to me you're on your weakest legs there because the government has said we don't have to do this, ever. So there's obviously an unreasonable delay. Government is saying we're not going to do this.
The government has responded to Mr. Kaufman.
See, that's a different argument. So I'm really torn in my understanding because that's saying, well, no, we did respond. And there's a final judgment, and so now you want us to review it on the merits of that final judgment?
No, it's unreviewable because.
Yeah, we're back again to the unreviewable.
Mm-hmm. And what is this response to which you're referring? You're referring to the Homeland Security response?
Yes, I am, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just all the statute tells you is when there shall be a loss of nationality.
Correct.
When the Attorney General shall. And it really could read when the Attorney General has approved it. Doesn't give you the standards, does it?
It doesn't give any standards at all.
This fellow, in one of his letters, said, look, unless you let me renounce my citizenship, I'm going to join up with the terrorists. And you'll
yes.
be sorry.
Yes.
So allowing him to renounce his citizenship, is that in the national interest of the national defense?
That goes to the merits. That's precisely what the question is. There are two standards here. State of war is a determination to be made, and I assume the Attorney General can say there isn't a state of war or there is a state of war. And then the Attorney General has the determination to make whether it's contrary to the interest of national defense. That's a clear standard.
No law to apply discretion, et cetera, Heckler versus Cheney, that thing. Is it your position that that even though the prosecutorial decision of an agency like the FDA or whatever is totally unreviewable, that nevertheless when somebody files a complaint, that they can force the agency to decide whether to prosecute cute Bristol-Myers squib? Is that what we're dealing with here? Is that the argument?
I'm sorry, I'm not following the question.
The decision whether to prosecute is totally within the
discretion
of the agents.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is your view of the plaintiff's case here one that is the equivalent of saying if a private citizen wants Bristol-Myers Squibb prosecuted, that they can sue, for example, the FDA and require the FDA, force them in a mandamus action to make a decision about whether to prosecute? Is that what we've got here?
I think that it's similar to that type of situation. The Attorney General now has discretion on when he's going to make a decision.
Who initiates a prosecution or an enforcement action? Who initiates?
Well, there has to be a complaint.
The government initiates,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Okay. Who initiates the request for renunciation here? The Attorney General can't act on his own here. The Attorney General only acts pursuant to a request by the person listed in A.
That's correct.
All right, so it's not akin to an enforcement prosecution action. This is a person's right to make a request. Doesn't mean it'll be granted, and that's not what they're arguing. They're just saying, I have a right under the statute to make this request, and the Attorney General's got to answer my question. May lose it, but he's got to answer the question.
We believe that there's sufficient, discretion within the statute itself for the Attorney General in terms of when the Attorney General has to make a decision.
I think there's
and
certainly
also,
discretion as to whether or not it's in the interest of national defense.
There's
the
certainly that
may
is.
Be, but that's like any other standard with respect to which an interpretation admits of some discretion.
It's a standard that it's not like the standard of interest of justice. It is a standard that the courts have found that likened to foreign policy, where it's more typically falls under 701A2, the national
why
defense.
Why isn't that the second step? Suppose the Attorney General denies the petition, and suppose he just denies it without stating his reasons. Or he denies it and he says either there is a state of war, but this is not in the interest of national defense. Then isn't your argument correct that this falls within an area that normally courts say it's inappropriate for courts to meddle around in, and you defer normally to the Secretary of Defense or the President's determination?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why isn't your argument tantamount to the fact that even though the Congress passes a statute that says the Attorney General shall do something, the Attorney General does not have to do something?
Well, the Attorney General, DOJ, did receive his request, and DOJ did delegate its responsibilities to the immigration section of Homeland Security. Homeland Security did respond to
so
Mr.
So you're
Kaufman.
Arguing that the Homeland Security response is to be read as the denial? When it said, you can't do this, you have to go outside the United States?
That was, in effect, a denial to Mr. Kaufman, yes.
Was that argued to the district court?
Yeah, where has that been tried? Has that theory been pressed somewhere before? That's news to me. It won't be the first time I missed something, but I definitely missed it. That's what this case is about.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the district court's whole opinion missed it, if you argued that. I mean, he said there was a request, he was going to assume there was a state of war, and he just had no jurisdiction over anything. So all of these arguments about the Attorney General had an obligation to make a decision, you know, were not before the court.
And the argument concerning whether or not the Attorney General should have simply acted on the application was similarly not a bright light that was brought in front of the district court. If anyone has any further questions.
It's not a bright light.
That's for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This fellow got a response. His response was, go to the State Department. why does it matter? Why should it matter? How is he possibly aggrieved by the difference between whether the State Department takes care of renouncing his citizenship or the Attorney General? Why does that matter? Why does he even have any kind of aggrievement here?
Because, Your Honor, the statute creates a right that he's entitled to an expatriation in the United States during time of war based if the Attorney General finds that expatriation would be in the interest, not contrary to the interest of national defense. It says nothing about
the
State Department.
The State Department portion of the statute, which is A5, doesn't have any of those restrictions. He's better off. The Department of State doesn't have to find that we're at a war, doesn't have to find it would be in the interest of national defense. So how is he possibly aggrieved? You know, go to the office down the hall. Don't come to me. I've got all these restrictions. And besides, I haven't implemented this thing since 1954.
Your Honor, because this statute itself creates a right of expatriation and in the United States during wartime. And moreover, the language in this statute that the government's...
I'm not asking you whether the statute creates a right, doesn't create a right. I'm asking you how this individual is possibly aggrieved on this record by being told to go to the State Department.
Because that prohibits him from making an expatriation in the United States during state of war.
No, well, the State Department, the statute that governs the State Department is not limited to outside the United States.
But under 1483, Your Honor, his expatriation under A5 would not become effective until he went outside the United States. Under 1483, his expatriation under A6 would become effective within the United States.
He's got to leave the United States anyway. He'd be here illegally. I think we established that when you argued originally, right?
Your Honor, I actually wanted to clear that up in my rebuttal. He would lose his United States, if his expatriation was granted by the Attorney General, and we're still two steps removed from that because first the Attorney General actually has to make a decision. But if his expatriation was granted by the Attorney General, he would not be a citizen. What his status would be, whether he'd be a resident alien, whether he'd be an illegal alien, whatever he'd be, would need to be determined by the Department of Homeland Security.
What about the other other argument that he got a response from Homeland Security?
Your Honor, there's nothing in, again, this statute concerns the Attorney General, and there's nothing in this record that indicates that.
Well, the argument would be that, well, after the Homeland Security statute was passed, creating the department, INS was put under Homeland Security, so by referring the letter over there, in effect, the Attorney General has delegated his authority.
But there's no indication that the Department of Homeland Security actually made a decision, even if his authority was delegated by the Attorney General. There's no indication that the Department of Homeland Security made a decision that Mr. Kaufman's expatriation would or would not be contrary to the interests of national defense. And on a motion to dismiss, here the inference can clearly be drawn in Mr. Kaufman's favor that the Attorney General failed to exercise his discretion under the statute, and Mr. Kaufman is entitled to relief under either the mandamus statutes or under Section 706(1) of the APA.
So you can't deem a Homeland Security's response to his letter a denial of his petition?
No, Your Honor. In addition, I mean, the Homeland Security letter, one of the Homeland Security letters clearly does not even recognize that what statute he's requesting expatriation under, because they say you intend to remain in the United States and you can't expatriate. When Section 1483 of this Act says an expatriation under 1481A6 can, in fact, take place with the United States. Mm-hmm. So even if that was a decision, even if assuming that there was some delegation and assuming that was, in fact, a decision, then this could be reviewed. I would say this would be reviewable under 706(2) as arbitrary and capricious because they clearly did not understand what statute that Mr. Kaufman was attempting to expatriate himself under. If there are no further questions, I'll cede my remaining time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Stand, please.